And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecks. L-Man's sick. I had to give a little bit of a half-hearted yell for him. Get well, L-Man.
He's got RSV. I know what that is.
Like a baby.
Is that just what every baby's getting
right now? Do adults get it? Is that a thing?
Yeah, if you're a baby adult. If you're an adult that acts like a little baby.
With me, I've got Taylor.
I was going to tell a time traveling joke here, but you guys didn't end up liking it. Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby. I was doing like the harmony part
there.
I couldn't find the melody.
I could feel that.
That was really strange.
I tried to hop in, but I
threw you off too.
My brain is like, don't do it.
Yeah, well, that was weird.
And Jay.
Jay?
Oh, no. Jay's muted.
It's Jay. I muted myself. It's Jay. Live from parts unknown.
Wow.
The middle of nowhere.
Wow. We're glad you could join us from the middle of nowhere, Jayvon.
It's good to see you. I'm actually preaching at a camp, and lights out here is at 12:45. And so
really?
Yeah. So the whole point was to, anyway, long story, but it is early because it was late, and this is one of the only platforms where I can complain about that and not really have a ear that cares. And Andrew, since that's kind of your routine, but for me, you know, not a 1 o'clock in the morning kind of guy.
No. Well, I'm also going to be at a church camp this weekend. So we'll have 50% of the DTD crew camping, church camping.
Camping. Church glamping. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not real camping. So game five of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. Should be an all-timer. I mean, we had an all-timer already in game four. Just an incredible game in Milwaukee. We won't stay on this super long because I want to just get through as many of the questions as we can. But was there anything? Who are you favoring? Like, Jay, who do you think will win the finals? You have to pick right now.
It's so funny. This is how much two games can change a lot of it. So I actually kind of am leaning the Bucks now. And the reasoning is, number one, is I think they're figuring some things out. Chris Middleton's showing up. Drew still not. But I think that Giannis has been unreal in this series. That block on Ayton will go down, kind of depending on how the series go, but it'll go down in definitely some form of lore. I think the thing that makes me nervous, man, is this is setting itself up to be like a Chris Paul disaster.
Game four and was certainly that.
And I wonder if there's part of it going to game five where there's a pressure that, and this is it, man. I think game five is honestly the make or break. Like, if Chris Paul plays excellent and he rebounded in the Western Conference Finals, and I do just want to give him credit in that. He's played well in playoff series before, but tomorrow night is going to be, or Saturday night is going to be the for me, it's the make or break for Chris Paul's legacy as far as it comes to how important this championship is for him. So he has to play well, no stupid turnovers, and just be the best version of himself. And I think he can. Like, I really do. Devin Booker was phenomenal. I think the Bucks have figured out some stuff to kind of make the Suns a little more singular dimensional kind of thing. And I think that it's kind of complicated things, but you know, I mean, the Suns have incredible talent across the board, and I think that they can rebound too. And going home matters, obviously. for Phoenix. So that's my, I'm leaning towards the Bucks, but I think game five is the determining factor, which is not some sort of like, oh, he's the first person to ever say that. It's like the person that wins games five wins like 80% of the series or something like that. So
yeah, but it was also like if you go up 2-0, what you have like 70 to 80% chance of winning the series too. And those things just don't seem to matter much the last 4 years. I don't know. I feel like everyone's kind of breaking through those.
In this playoffs, it hasn't really mattered.
Yeah, it just doesn't really matter. Devin Booker and Chris Paul cannot have a good game at the same time. This whole series, it's just been that. Booker's good. Chris Paul was really good. Devin Booker was good. Devin Booker was bad. Chris Paul was bad. Mm-hmm. So if those two, if Chris Paul can just do like, you know, get 18 points and 10 rebounds and 4 turnovers, mm-hmm. it's those turnovers that are just killing them. That turnover in the fourth quarter was so bad and the most Chris Paul Clippers thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it felt very, yes, it felt very Chris Paul, which is just a shame to say, but it really did. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued to see what will happen. I went into the series thinking that I'd be rooting for the Suns, but I found myself rooting for the Bucks in almost every single game. I don't know if that's just that I want Giannis to break through. I don't know what it is, but
you don't want Chris to break through?
I guess not.
Why not?
I don't know.
It'd be kind of cool. I mean, it's going to feel bad for someone. I think we were texting about this, and the thing with this series is, and y'all brought up a good point, there's no villain in this series.
Yeah, so, there's no real villain.
Yeah, it's hard to, unless you're a fan of that specific team, I don't know who you root for unless you love one of those players, but I kind of like all the best players equally.
Yeah.
I think as a Thunder fan, the reason I pull a little, and it's crazy, like I'm the same way. And here's the truth is I'll be excited for whichever franchise wins. I think that, I don't know, and I'm about to say this and recognizing that the Suns also kind of built in a similar way. The Suns just have a different market than Oklahoma City, but Milwaukee feels more comparable, even though Milwaukee is a larger market than Oklahoma City. But it does feel more comparable as far as how roster building will have to take place for the Thunder. And now, the same sense, like I said, Phoenix, I mean, their only big free agent acquisition was Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like it was some sort of, neither one of these teams took the Lakers route or the Nets route, which is why it's in, for me, you're a small market team fan, like it absolutely makes it to where you can pull pretty well for both of these. But it is why I lean towards Bucks, probably honestly because of past Thunder wounds and, you know, their big star. I don't want Giannis to get disgruntled because he gets this far, loses, and then it just, you know, if they have the plagues of Egypt season next year and then, you know, who knows? Like this is, we've seen this kind of rhythm play out before. And I think in the Eastern Conference, like both of these teams actually just benefited from a lessened playoff field. And so I think there's at least for me, a feeling like this is maybe both of these teams' best shot to have it for the next 2 or 3 years. Now Giannis has like a 5-year timeline or a 10-year timeline, but they've got some work to do to build a roster that's sustainable that long. But I don't know. I've been leaning a little bit more towards the Bucks as well, which is crazy because I really like the Suns team too. So,
yeah, I feel like this could be the start of something for Giannis.
Yeah, if he wins it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, what it would do is give him that respect and put him. He's a superstar, but not like in this general way that the other superstars are. And I think if he wins in the finals, I think it would boost him up into that territory for yeah. sure.
There's not really a precedent for a player that's 26 that wins their first ring to like never get back there again.
Yeah, but with that team is the thing, because just because he wins a championship with the Bucks,
yes,
if they if they flame out the next four years, then he'll just go somewhere else to get more championship. Now it's still okay because he still brought Milwaukee a championship, and I would take it if I was Milwaukee too, obviously, but it doesn't set in stone that, you know, Giannis is.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that we have placed such value on even just like, look, Dirk Nowitzki. It's the story that will drive this narrative for so many is like Dirk's one in the city he played in from from his rookie season till he retired, has 35 times the value that almost every other championship over the last 10 years outside of the Spurs was.
My argument is that, yes, it would be worth more with the Bucks, but I was just saying that I think Giannis, this won't be the only time we'll see Giannis in the finals. But
yeah, Taylor, I would agree with that.
It could be with a different, it could be with a different team later.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how, is Chris Middleton, how old is Chris Middleton? Late 20s, early 30s?
I don't think he's 30 yet.
Yeah, I don't know. His draft status made it strange. I'm doing a great podcast and looking it up. 29 years old. He's almost 30.
So at least he'll be good through the rest of Giannis's contract. Yeah.
And, you know, his game doesn't rely a ton on athleticism as much as
it doesn't.
Just his ability to be a shooter. They're going to have to, I mean, this is it for the Bucks for me, is I'm like, James Jones has kind of proven that he can put a really good roster around that team. But if you look at the leadership in Milwaukee, I think that's where it's going to be something that I just am not anxious to see. I don't particularly have a care of this, to be honest, outside of the fact of just it's fun to watch. But I just think there's some, like, PJ Tucker is, I think, 65 years old and is clearly, in my mind, slowing down a little bit. And I think DiVincenzo is a piece that, who knows what he's going to, what kind of his ceiling can be to make that roster fit a little bit more around Giannis. But how long can you rely on Brooke Lopez?
No,
I don't know. That's the, as your wing, you know, like as one of your wings more so, you know.
Yeah.
But so I think that there's just some roster construction for the long term success of that franchise that they got to do.
You can find the Lopez's of the world.
Yeah. But they're financially, is my question. Like, there's eventually a point where they're going to be financially.
Same for the Suns, though. Maybe even more so. Yeah. Like, the Suns have proven more so over time.
Ayton, Booker, Bridges. Yeah. And now Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul's got one player option a year left or two.
Right.
Or 1 year and then a player option.
Yeah, he's got one. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I would, like, Robert Sarver has proven in the past that he's willing to just give stuff away to save money. Like, he gave away lottery picks to save money.
You mentioned that somewhere. I can't remember where that was.
I don't know where it was either.
Saturday Slam and Jam, maybe.
Tayshawn, do you have a factoid?
No.
Well, I just want to show.
I could update. I could give an update. Someone asked about my child dog bowl situation.
Oh,
yeah. Quick update.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. So.
Tayshawn's factoid, bigger and mystery.
Hello, I'm Tayshawn. This is my factoid, Big Victory. And this is really this is an update on a segment we did with Luke where he gave us parental advice and was really helpful.
I'm confident it's from Trav. Trav is funny.
Yep, it might be from that.
I'll double check.
An update, just for anyone who missed this, my daughter, she's one. And she was obsessed with my dog's water bowls. She went over to it all the time. So what we realized was my dog, well, wow, Freudian slip there, but my child is a dog. And so also what we've been doing is we're like, where's Nora? I haven't heard from her in a minute. And we'll walk in our bedroom and she'll just be laying in one of the dog beds. She's obsessed with whatever the dogs have. And so the update is that we have finally accepted our reality, and we've been bringing her to PetSmart for some training classes. So it's going really well. We're finally seeing our daughter for who she truly is, which is really our number one goal as parents, right? And to support and encourage that. And who she really is a puppy. So we're just going to go down that road and see how it goes, and I'll keep you guys updated on that.
Tayshawn's back to it, bigger and mystery.
And we'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back after that quick break. We're going to go through as many Twitter questions as we possibly can. First Twitter question comes from Dort Poi. He just wants to give a shout out to Vrenz for giving a shout out to Thunder fans.
Wow. Double shouts.
Double shout out.
That podcast was cool.
You guys have
it was.
You guys have thoughts on the Vrenz or the Vrenz pod?
Man, I did just a quick kind of Google search just to figure out who this guy is because this interview was really, really intriguing. I mean, he's clearly a take a runner on this guy because he's giant and he's really fluid with the ball. Like he actually, I watched it, you know, and it's highlights. And so it doesn't show the ones where he's like falling out of bounds or whatever, but
yeah.
I just was impressed, man. Like he's got a decent little looking shot. I think he's relatively athletic. My only thing is just a little bit of the scuttlebutt, is that he is, and that's something people say.
I hear it a lot.
Yeah.
He's rising as he goes and he does some practices with some of the teams. Like, you know, I went to Charlotte and it's all about like, I don't think somebody's going to pick him in the 20s or anything, but is there going to be somebody that gets up to grab him early 30s, late 20s, you know, in the second round? And the Thunder have a couple of options right there. And so they could move up a few picks if they really get enamored with him. But, you know, being 6'10", and I think that's pretty legit. Like if that picture, oh, that wasn't him. But he's 6'10". He said, what did he say, 6'10 and 6'11 with shoes on?
He's 6'11".
Yeah. And so I think that size and that skill set that he has and kind of maybe this Euro trend that Sam is heading down is I think he's kind of a perfect Thunderman. And also, just to be real honest, listening to that conversation, you're like,
yeah.
The Thunder surely told him if he's there at 34 or 5 or whatever it is that they're going to pick him.
Yeah.
Surely.
I mean, the Thunder haven't taken a guy that played in college basketball since Sabonis. And Sabonis is an international player playing college basketball.
That's true because Bazley didn't play in college. He played.
They have not taken anybody that's played for a college basketball team.
Whoa.
Since.
This will be the year that breaks that, though. They're not going to spend all their picks on Euro alternative kind of players.
There's certainly a world where they do. There's
at number six, they could draft Sengun. They could draft Giddy.
Yeah, they could take Giddy or Sengun there.
Sengun, sorry. My apologies.
Usman Garuba at 16 if they wanted
to. Somebody in the chat is saying Kirk T is saying Diallo.
What about Diallo?
That he was drafted, I guess, from America or from a college team.
Yeah, but that was like 4 years ago now. So that still would
have
been
a first rounder. I guess maybe
he's just yelling Diallo. That's all it is. Diallo!
Yeah. Yeah, Hami would have been the last one, but he's a second round pick. A pick where I'll just say I'll have to amend that. The first round. The first time is the last time they took somebody in the first round that went to college. So there's a world where they take guys. I think you're right, Taylor, that they're gonna, because they have so many picks, they'll take somebody that went to college. But
what a weird conversation we're having.
It's just interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to what we're assuming as far as Sam's this iteration of roster building is that he's pursuing that kind of more hybrid player. Like, that's the other thing you could say is, I mean, Teo, but he's a second rounder and you're going to have to get guys that aren't. But just between Poku and Bazley and some of the things we're hearing about their interest in this upcoming draft, you know, which is not much at all, just as more than us just thinking, oh, maybe, is it's, even if you looked at some of the guys they added throughout the season, Svi being one of them, you just got to, like, these guys that are just higher, you know, like the way they play the game is just so different. Skilled, they can grab the ball, they can push it, they can, I don't know. It's kind of intriguing to watch these guys and this roster being built. And I don't know if it materializes. They need somebody, aka Poku, to really take it to a different level. But I don't know. I kind of like the idea of creating a, instead of just going with these like athletic, long players that have to develop the skill, is take the guys that kind of have that developed skill in some sense and then give them the physical development that they need. Is, I don't know, why not?
Yeah. And Vren's talked a little bit about this off the pod, but they do a lot of like one-on-one workout stuff with either like a coach, or they'll play against another draft prospect there. And he's like, I didn't grow up playing one-on-one at all, really. That it was always team focused basketball. Yeah. And that is not a part of like the European basketball culture, like playing one-on-one, where like that's like, I grew up playing one-on-one. Like that was like something that everybody did here and everybody still does here, where you have to go create your own and go get it. And it's not like Vren's can't, it's not like European players can't do that, but they're just more inclined to play team basketball
within a system.
Yeah, most of those guys don't have like tunnel vision when it comes to scoring. Like James Bouknight would have never come out of Europe, you know, like he,
or if he would have, he'd have been a different player, obviously, right?
Yeah, he would have been a different player. And so it's not like one is like way better than the other, but you can see the system that they're developing in Oklahoma City. They want everybody to see the court. They want everybody to be able to put the ball on the floor. They want everybody to be able to pass. Like that's what they want.
Does that make it to where, I know that, I just blanked on his name. Was it Bo? No, it's not Bo. The gentleman you had on with you on Wednesday. I'm so sorry.
Ben.
I was close on letters. Anyway, but he was talking about Giddey.
You got one of the letters correct.
One of them. Well, it depends. If it's BEA, I got two letters. But he's obviously a fan of Giddey and really high on Giddey as a prospect, and even would suggest, actually, I think he landed on Moses Moody at 6 for the Thunder. But if that is the style of guy that they're looking for, I don't want to spend number 6 on Giddey, just to be honest with you. I think that's it's an overreach. But that's with like very little expertise, other than just kind of looking at what he is and knowing some of his potential limitations. And I'd rather take a run. I mean, I'd rather go for Barnes. I'd rather go. I mean, I don't know if he'll be there. I actually don't think he will anymore. Maybe Kuminga. But then you go to like that, those two picks they have later in the first round, is like, can they do something with those two to get a Giddey? And how does Giddey play alongside Shea? And does that really even matter, is kind of the question marks. But
that
would fit the mold of what we kind of talked about. Probably the best player to fit that, unless I don't know enough about Şengün. I know that some people are really high on him, but back to the basket kind of guys that
Şengün, like offensively, would be incredible. I mean, he could come into the league and probably average like 15 and 7, like right away. He's one of the youngest guys in the draft too. He's great as a role man. He sets really good screens. He can pop out to mid range. He will likely shoot threes. He gets to the free throw line a ton. He makes his free throws. I mean, offensively, it would be incredible with Shea, because he would be he's the best pick and roll partner probably in the draft for him.
Are you talking about Şengün? Are you talking about
Şengün?
Okay.
I mean. But then the question is, like, what is he on defense? Because he is the comp that Sam Vecenie and I made a Şengün video that will go up.
Oh, tight.
I think today. And the comp that he keeps landing on is Kevin Love for him. And I've heard that from multiple people in this past week, that that Kevin Love is not a bad comp for him. Which, if he turns into Kevin Love, if that's what he is, like, you have to take him at 6. Like, you absolutely have to. And I don't know if that's where the Thunder land with him. But there were major issues with Kevin Love on defense. And he had to figure that out. And it took him going to the Cavs, slimming down, and playing with LeBron.
And stopping Steph Curry in the finals to win a final.
That's right. So he eventually got there. But it took time, And so to me, I wouldn't be super upset if they took him at six. One, it would mean they believe in him. And two, I don't know. White Black says that Şengün is a power forward. If he's going to be in the NBA, like, he can't guard 3-4s. He won't be able to guard 3-4s. This is the only issue. Because it's basically you have a point guard, three wings, and a center. Like, that's the league now. And
or a point guard and four wings.
Yeah.
A big wing is your center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just don't know that he can... I don't disagree that he's more of a four. He certainly, 10 years ago, would have been a four. Today, it's more murky. He's almost the bad tweener, where kind of like Markieff Morris is like a bad tweener because he's not a four and he's not a five. Mm-hmm. Or he can't guard fours and he's a four, but he can't really guard fives either. And that's where it's scary with Şengün.
Spooky.
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 All right, let's answer some more questions. Twice God wants to know about Wrenz's range. I think he's a second round pick. I think he will be there in the second round. And I don't know that the Thunder would pick him, but I think that he would be very excited if the Thunder picked him. Zach Deek says, what would Sam Presti trade to get Sam Presti? Or theoretically, what would OKC command if he was ever traded? Probably a first round pick.
Can you trade other GMs?
Trade for other GMs?
Yeah, like, can you put a GM in the trade to trade for a GM?
Doc Rivers, the Celtics got a first round pick whenever Doc Rivers went to the Clippers.
Yeah.
So I think that there could be something like that. I think that this is mostly a joke.
Let's take it seriously.
Take it seriously. I think they could get a first rounder for Sam to go somewhere else if he's still under contract.
You have to get more than a first rounder.
I don't know that you can get more than a first rounder.
You're trading your future.
You're not.
You're trading the next 15 years for one draft pick in 1 year.
Here's the thing. I don't think Sam is going to be here for forever.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Forever?
Not forever. He will die one day.
He could die.
One day, as we all will.
Yes. In the next 70 years, he will be gone.
It's debatable. Okay?
No, I don't know. I mean, I just don't think in this market you can ever assume anything with regards to people staying. And Sam is so good. I would hope that he would stay throughout the duration of this rebuild and to, like, see it through. But would I...
There's almost an integrity issue if he doesn't. Unless the ownership is like, all right, we're done with this. But if you just got all of these...
Yeah.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm saying, like, if you got all these draft picks and all this capital and intentionally doing things to lessen the quality of basketball on the floor for now, for later, like, you better see this through at least the next 3 years, you know, like,
yeah.
Especially, and I don't think he's going to do this, but especially if he does pull off like a, hey, we're going to trade Shea and go all in for the one pick and see what Cade does. And like you kind of have a responsibility to build that roster after that, you know? So,
yeah, definitely.
But Sam, I mean, there's nothing that is leading anybody to think that Sam would leave.
Yeah. I think the fact that the Boston job is here and gone is probably like the biggest sigh of relief for Thunder fans.
Right.
And it happened so fast, we didn't even get to speculate on it. Because if it were like, if they waited a week to hire Brad, we would have definitely talked a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened all within like 10 minutes. I was at the gym and I was checking tweets and it was like back to back. Like, oh, he's gone and Brad's taking his spot. I'm like, what? Stephen Croach is asking if Şengün is Guinness Cantor 2.0. Absolutely not. No way. It's only a comp because they're both European and big. Those are the only things.
In offense, no defense.
Which is also funny because Kevin O'Connor.
He's not no defense. He's not no. To me, it's kind of a misnomer that he's no defense. He's not no defense. He's just.
Kevin O'Connor made the comp of Domas.
He's probably closer to Domas than he is to Cantor. Certainly, I would say. Okay. Let's see. Jess 2437 wants to know, NBA Finals Game 7 or NBA Draft today, what would you rather attend this month?
NBA Draft, baby.
Yeah. I don't know. Give me Game 7.
Yeah. Oh,
game
yeah. Seven. Wait, hold on. I got a little bit, Game 7. I got a little bit lost in my draft excitement, which is less than 2 weeks away. And if you didn't know this, we're hosting a party at Fassler Hall on 10th Street, downtown Oklahoma City, starting at 6 p.m.
6 o'clock. The draft starts at 7, but get there early. Get a spot.
Get some food. They have good food there, good brews there, sponsored by Lively.
Yes. Bangelope is bringing name tags, so get your name tag, fill out your name tag.
Put your Twitter name on it,
Put your Twitter handle on it so that we know who you are.
I'm assuming that they'll have the doors open and all that stuff, so it'll be just one giant party outside, inside.
That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's going to be
great. It's going
to be fun. It's going to be great.
And plenty of
great venue. The perfect venue for this.
If you were at the lottery party and you're like, man, there's nowhere to go, this is not going to be that situation. There's going to be plenty of room. So don't not go if you're worried about it being too crammed.
Yeah.
Cram.
At Auckland_09, with Tony Bradley, a restricted free agent this year, what would be the max money that you'd match? Minimum.
What a question.
With Allen Muskie probably gone too, he's the only center on the roster currently.
Yeah.
Do not worry. Do not worry at all about the center position with regards to this team. That's all I'll say. Let's see. At Making History Fun, after listening to the Vrenz pod, why do I feel like I'm cheating on Poku by loving him too?
Well, because you're a little bit racist.
Wow. No, I think
there can only be one.
There can only be one 7-footer that dribbles and creates like that. No, I that's why I think he's so Thunder. And I even told
him. Here's my question. Yeah. Did it feel like Vrenz kind of threw a little shade at Poku?
I kind of felt
like I just didn't know Poku. Like he played.
I think he's being completely honest. I don't think he's throwing shade. I think he.
Yeah, well.
I think that's true. Yeah. That's probably true of most European players because he was on like the draft radar, but I don't think that because he didn't play in like a big time league. And then when he did, he didn't play a lot. I really don't think it was shade. I think it was just like, yeah, this guy, he didn't accomplish much as a European player.
Did he,
but maybe it was shade.
I think it's shade. I think he sees him as if I'm going to play on this team, I have to beat that guy. That's my number one enemy.
Irrational confidence is sometimes the thing I'm looking for more than anything in some of these NBA guys. I don't appreciate that. That's the thing I do like about what I could feel from his interview, but also just watching some snippets of his game, is that Vrenz is not going to come into the NBA and be intimidated by anybody, which is great. Yeah. It's what you want.
Yeah. He talked about playing against Tay Dosich. And
he's like, I smashed him, bro. I smashed him.
I killed him.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I might need to post that video because he got so hyped on video.
Dude, that was fun. That was a great interview. So, yeah, it's why not just take him at 6, man? If you know, right?
Oh, God.
At DPuzzle 13, you're invited to the draft green room on draft night, and you get to bring one snack/food item to eat while you wait to be drafted. What are you bringing?
Who's going to pay me? Who's going to sponsor me?
Yeah.
Ooh, good question. You are sponsored by Pop-Tarts.
Doritos.
The
purple bag of Doritos, sweet spicy chili.
Buffalo Wild Wings. You just got sauce all over your... And part of the deal is you have to walk up on stage with sauce all over your mouth and all over your hands, and you have to shake Adam Silver's hand with
And then you look into the camera hands. And you say, Buffalo Wild Wings. You just mouth it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you lick all around your mouth. People would know what you're saying. This is actually a great idea for these companies.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
If Vrenz got to, if he was drafted in the first round and he had Buffalo Wild Wings all over his face and he looked in the camera and said Buffalo Wild Wings, Thunder fans would be at Buffalo Wild Wings immediately.
Oh yeah, well we're already there anyway.
Well, let's
there's a lot of Thunder fans at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh man, yeah.
Have you all looked at the Ringer's draft, their mock draft online, the draft recently? Guide?
I haven't looked at it recently. Yeah. No.
I could be crazy, but I think, unless it's the old one, but it looks like KOC put Keon Johnson back at 6 and Barnes fell all the way to 11, or unless that's the earliest one or the earlier one that I found.
That's one that he posted weeks ago.
Okay. It's like it didn't update.
Yeah, it's like a it's like a hot garbage mock draft is what it is. Wow. Cool.
Shots fired.
Yes, absolutely. I would lose it. I would lose my mind if that's what happened.
What if you were sponsored by some milk company like Highland Milk? And the thing was,
there we go. Okay,
you have to go up on stage, chug a gallon of milk.
Do the gallon challenge on stage.
And throw up.
And then look at the camera and say, got milk.
Yeah, and there's just like vomit milk rolling down your face.
Yeah, that's horrific.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, thank you. At NZ Big Mike, can Taylor at the live draft event announce every pick with their own personalized song or joke?
Oh God, no. It's going to be hard because...
First and second round, 60 of them.
I mean, I could just sing their names.
All right.
Sure.
Deal.
But as far as jokes go... No, because it all end up being really disgusting and inappropriate. And if we're allowing kids there, it's just, don't let me do that.
Yeah. Michael on Sports wants to know, with the news of Kawhi's injury looking like he'll be out all of next year, do you think Presti will try to use the Clippers pick next year to move up in the draft or just wait until next year to see where it ends up? It's a great question.
I think... cashing in on it right now would be an undersell, in my opinion, because the thing that I don't everybody's kind of basing what the Clippers are going to look like next year on, like, you know, with Paul George and the team they had, and Terrence Mann's gotten better.
We got to see it, you know, we saw it in the playoffs,
and they're good. I think that's a playoff team, like an 8 seed 7 playing, whatever, maybe even higher depending on Paul George play. But the wild card on that is, what if the player that has had injury problems almost every other season but this last one, what if something makes its way and he misses 20 games? And what if it's crucial 20 games that is part of the season that really determine what they are going to try to do? And then it's like, okay, well, Kawhi's healthy, but we're 5 games out of the play, or, you know, or whatever. And is it worth bringing him back and risking? That's the where it gets interesting. And then at the trade deadline, if you have at least a little bit of a taste of what that pick's going to look like, or even at the draft, like if you actually know that it's the 10th pick, that's when you either cash in or you're, you know, because the Thunder, if that were to happen, if the Clippers kind of fell apart this year because of injuries and they're the 10th pick, the Thunder are going to have the 7th or the 6th, probably, is my opinion, just because it's just going to be what it is, unless we get lucky and get top 1 or 2, which would be tight. I just think at that point, it's going to be so much more valuable when it's a known quantity versus like an assumed quantity.
Could be. It's a risk either way. You just have to weigh it, because there's been lots of picks that people thought would be much better than they ended up being in the past. Like,
oh, that's the Celtics' whole entire pick stash. Yes. That Memphis pick was supposed to be like the franchise-altering pick, and ended up being like
pick,
a 10th
pick. Their Kings pick, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this could end up being the 20th pick. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. If you're able to use it, if that's what helps you get to 3, do you do it? Let's say they say we'll take 6 and the Clippers pick for next year to move up to 3.
Yeah, absolutely. See ya. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, that might
be. I think Ballmer's insane enough and puts enough pressure on that franchise that, like, they're going to go all in the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't think he even can fathom the idea of, like, hey, let's, you know, punt this season and move on to the next one. Like, that's I think an impossibility for him to think about.
Yeah. Well, and they can't, the Warriors had that year, but the Warriors also knew, okay, we're going to have a chance to get a top 5 pick in this draft. We just need to play young guys and be bad. And the injuries helped them get there, but also, like, Draymond Green basically took the year off. And that team honestly needed the year off after the amount of finals runs that they had gone through. They needed a year off, so it was almost perfect for them. This won't be that for the Clippers, because the Clippers know, like, we don't have any reward at the end of this tunnel to grab.
There's no benefit of them being bad.
Yeah. At Sports Are Epic, is Jonathan Kuminga similar to Darius Bazley? high theoretical upside, but we haven't really seen it. Good size, can't shoot, non-traditional path, inefficient.
I think Kuminga's body, because they're going to be similar as far as height, but Kuminga is already has an NBA like thickness to him as far as his build. And that's what's the intriguing thing for Kuminga is his athleticism. Even though Bazley's an athlete, like clearly, but it's just a different style of athlete. But I think a lot of those comps you're making are not far off as far as kind of the unpolished shooting and used kind of, I mean, I think you probably knew more about, I mean, we definitely know more about Kuminga than we knew about Bazley. Mm-hmm. But I think there's some comps in that maybe.
Yeah. Caleb Martin says, Andrew, KOC's new article this morning said that OKC is interested in Book Knight at 6. Also mentioned Scotty Barnes. I'm not a Book Knight guy. I could be absolutely dead wrong about him as well. I'm not. But I would not be super pumped and jacked if that's who they selected in the draft. But he can score. I don't know that he can do a whole lot else. But scoring is important. If the Thunder think that he's the sixth best prospect, then I would feel better about him. But I have a hard time believing that they would take him at 6. I think that's kind of a wild. That would be, and maybe he is the highest upside swing just because he's probably the best scorer from 6 to like who else scores. I mean, he's probably he's probably the scorer of that group, maybe.
But you would take Moody over Book Knight all day, every day.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's close. I'm close on both those guys.
Okay. So, when are you guys gonna? Are you and Mikey, or are we gonna do any sort of mock draft or big board or anything?
Yeah, I have. I'm working on one right now.
I haven't missed that, have I?
Nope.
No, and Luke, you haven't missed Luke and I's either. We're working on that.
I know. I'm just waiting for theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, the tall shadow KC says that he can't see him as more than a six man. I think he'd be better than a six man, but I just have a hard time seeing him being I don't know. I don't see him being your secondary scorer at the NBA level.
That feels so contrary. It feels like a safe pick. Oh yeah, it's kind of a positional need, and he's a guy we think will contribute on this medium level, and that just doesn't feel like what I would think they would want to do as far as spending a high pick. Like that's why it's like just swing on Barnes or Kuminga, because, or even if you do want to swing, like if you think Giddey has the potential to be something special, like take the high upswing. Like if you're at 3, like take the known quantity. If you're at 4, take the known quantity or the assumed known quantity.
Yeah. He just doesn't.
But don't
pass.
Take the safe pick at 6. That's wild.
He doesn't pass at all.
It wouldn't hurt though for this team to have an aggressive scorer on the court next to Shea, especially if like Bazley's out there, Dort's out there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And maybe they think his vision can improve, but he had his assist rate was so low, and he had like a 30% usage and like an 11% assist rate. Like it was just, I don't know. He scares me in that way. Let's see. We'll do a couple more and then we got to go. Let's see. Dylan_Wilcox asks, thoughts on OKC being the third piece enabler in a Cleveland, Philly, Ben Simmons, Sexton trade? With OKC getting the third pick, I figure we could throw in first at both Cleveland and Philly to take on the salary that would help incentivize the trade. We could end up with both the third and the sixth. I think it's like a pipe dream, to be honest. I don't think that you just like pop in there and be like, hey, we'll take the third pick. You know, I think Philly would say we want that in a Simmons trade, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The third pick for Simmons sounds right.
No, it doesn't.
Sexton and the third pick for Simmons.
Well, no, Jay, I mean, after that performance, yes. But, like, he's still going. If you trade Simmons, you're going to get something back like that.
I don't know. I mean, you're probably right. I mean, I don't disagree with that. You just got to find a team that would be enamored with the idea of Ben Simmons and his fit on your team. And, I mean, Cleveland makes sense, actually. Does Colin Sexton make sense to Philly? I mean, yeah, I guess maybe. And then you've got that three pick. that really incentivizes, which Philly would probably use to do something. Like, I can't imagine them adding a third pick to that team when they're such a win now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Position. Mm-hmm. Like, so you take the third pick and Tobias Harris and get somebody that you know is better. I don't know.
Yeah. Sharif Cooper and Jaden Springer. This is from at Pac-Man Tomlinson. Sharif Cooper and Jaden Springer are mocked by a lot of outlets to OKC at 16 or 18. What are your opinions on those guys? I've watched a lot of Sharif Cooper. I haven't watched as much of Jaden Springer, so I can't. We're doing Jaden Springer next week, so I can't give my full opinion on him. I like him because he's bigger. Jaden Springer, I mean, Sharif Cooper is tiny. I mean, he's 6 foot. He is probably the best ball handler and probably the best passer in the draft. So he would be really fun as a backup guy, but he is, he's maybe the worst defender in the draft and I don't think he'll ever shoot it. So I would not take him. I would not do it. All right. We got to go. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're live on the stream, let me see if I can give you guys a shout out. Sam the Man 076, Dylan Greaves, Stephen Crouch, as we mentioned, Jeff Bell, Shreyas Dushmak is here, Michael Clampett here from Tokyo. Thank you so much for joining. Brian Wilson in Madison, Wisconsin. We have, Shiras is in India. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Daniel Tomasi asking if Jay's in a sauna. I think he was. Josie Cook from Morgantown, West Virginia. Very cool. Kirk T loves Hamidou Diallo. White Black. Chad Scott is here. I think Chad is in UConn. I think that's right. Let's see. Eric Castile is here. Michael McAfee is watching from the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Wow, thanks so much for listening. Michael? Rob Whitrock is asking if Jay's at Dayspring. He is at Dayspring, yes, but he's not at the camp you think he's at, you creep. Stay Jamaica. Thanks so much for joining, everybody. Hope you have a great weekend. And we will talk to you guys again. Tyler Carroll in Dallas, the Tall Shot here in OKC. Thank you so much for joining. We'll talk to you guys
again. Bye.
On Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.